ओम ज्ञान तमरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः. I'd like to offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord who are just like desire trees, can fulfill the desires of everyone, and full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, today is a very special day, the birthday of Lord Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki Everywhere, all over the world, people from different cultures, even different religions, are celebrating this very auspicious day of Lord Krishna's birthday. We're very fortunate that Parikshit Maharaj was asking Shukadev Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam all about Krishna, Krishna's appearance, Krishna's activities, why he appeared, how he appeared, what is the nature of the whole story. Because the more one hears of Krishna Leela, the pastimes of the Lord's appearance and activities, the more one's heart becomes cleansed and gets free of the attachment to this world and the suffering. What is the suffering? Birth, old age, disease, and death. Death waits for no one. Doesn't matter whether you're very handsome, beautiful, rich, popular. In many ways, one could feel themselves materially qualified, but death doesn't care. Still, we all have to leave this world. So Krishna appears in order to attract us back to the spiritual kingdom. The Lord's manufactured this whole material creation, the whole universe, by the Lord's energy. And all of us, jivatmas, individual living beings, we've come to this world how to enjoy. Because Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. We also have that same happiness. And in pursuit for that eternal happiness, we're wandering throughout this material world. From the higher planets, the heavenly planets, many people go to church and perform austerities and penances so they can go to the heavens where there is great opulence, beauty, the body is strong, very beautiful, and the level of enjoyment is much more available. So people feel that to go to heaven is the perfection of life, or to become very wealthy, very powerful. Let me have a kingdom. Doesn't matter if I kill my whole family members, kill my father, kill my children. Let me be the emperor and control and be respected. So the situation, once upon a time, long time ago, 5,000 years ago, not so long when you think of the duration of a universe, millions, trillions of years. So just a little bit in the history, 5,000 years ago, Krishna's time to appear, he has scheduled incarnations. It's just like in the prison house, once in a while the governor comes to see the condition of the prisoners and the prison house. So Durga, Maya, Krishna's energy, she's in charge of the fortress. No one can get out alive from Durga's control. They say the clutches of material energy has a deep grip on all of us. We're covered by the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. As a result, lust disturbs the mind, envy, jealousy, greed. These are the qualities which keep one in this material world. So long time ago, Mother Bhumi was feeling the burden of all these kings who actually should be protecting the citizens, guiding the citizens in Vedic culture, encouraging sacrifices, encouraging religious activities. But at the time when Kamsa and all his friends of demonic nature, they were harassing the brahmanas, they were stopping Vedic culture. So much disturbance was there. So Mother Earth took the form of a cow, approached Lord Brahma. When you have a problem, you got to take it to the top. Lord Brahma, the first created being within this universe, very powerful, sometimes even called Bhagavan. So Lord Brahma, yes, you all come with me. We're going to Shweta Dweep. The Lord in this universe, he's there in the form of Ananta, in the milk ocean, in this universe. So Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, all the various demigods, they all came together to the shore of the ocean of milk. So Brahma sat in meditation in the ocean, and the Lord revealed to him that yes, the demigod should take birth in the Yadu dynasty, in the Vrishni dynasty. There's the dynasty of the moon god and the sun god. The sun god, Lord Ramachandra, appeared, and the moon god, Lord Krishna, appeared, the Yadu dynasty, so they became very famous. So he instructed all the demigods to take birth in the Yadu family. Just like when an emperor or a great king, powerful personality is coming, he sends all his assistants to make sure everything's in proper order. Everything is ready. So after such beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord, Lord Brahma and the demigods, they went back home. So now the time is moving along. Vasudev just married Devaki, the princess, the daughter of Devaka Maharaj. And in this marriage ceremony, it was great, great opulence. Thousands of chariots and horses with golden embroidery and golden garlands. At that time, there was so much opulence. A grand procession with all music and festive. And somehow, Kamsa, the brother of Devaki, taking the reins to bring the new bride and her husband to their new home. It's described sometimes the brother would assist his baby sister to make her feel like the family's there protecting her. He heard an ominous voice in the sky, "Kamsa, you fool! That person you're driving in the chariot, her eighth child will kill you." So immediately Kamsa became totally disturbed. What? He believed everything, obviously, because it's a ominous voice very clearly explaining that he'll be killed. So he grabbed Devaki by the hair in the left hand and with sword in hand, ready to cut her head. So everyone was shocked, astonished. How is this? On the wedding day of Devaki and Vasudev, such atrocity would take place. The emperor, the king, King Kamsa would do such a horrible thing. So Vasudev used his intelligence and he explained to Kamsa philosophically, you know, why you're so afraid of death. Everyone born in this world, if you've been around for 30, 40, 50 years, you've already died that much time. Death is inevitable whether you die now or later. Of course, the philosophical explanations by Vasudev were not convincing to Kamsa because obviously everyone cherishes life very much, so much so that they're willing to sacrifice others before themselves. So Kamsa wanted to make sure that he was not in any danger. So Vasudev, having a reputation of being very truthful, very honest, respectable, people respected him for his word, they call it word of honor. So he explained, okay, I understand you're perplexed, Kamsa. So Devaki's of no threat, and the children are not here. Who knows if there'll be children later on? And whatever children come from Devaki, I'll give to you, and you do as you see fit. So Kamsa was somewhat pacified because everyone was looking at him and thinking, what a cruel personality this is, going to kill his younger sister on her wedding day because of some voice in the sky worried about being killed in the future. Who knows what will happen? So in this way, for whatever reason, I'm still bewildered how Narada Muni plays his role, but he came and explained to them, all the demigods are taking birth in the Yadu family, and all these children, and they're preparing something to take, you know, get rid of the demoniac nature. So he brought all his ministers and demonic personalities. He had so many. All the demons that Krishna kills were mystic yogis with great powers to transform their bodies into monstrous beings to devour and kill the innocent poor Vaishnavas. So not only did he stop all sacrifices, but then he got into a campaign, Kamsa. He told all his ministers, you go, any new child born anywhere in this Yadu dynasty, you bring them, we kill them all. Because Krishna could be coming anytime. Any of the children of Devaki could be the one who will try to kill me. So this is the nature of this material world. People are very, very much selfish and very much absorbed in the bodily concept, not understanding their eternal spiritual nature. They were acting very viciously. So although six children were killed by Kamsa, but there's a whole history behind that. They were actually cursed to be killed, and they were actually Kamsa's children, and he killed his own children. But it appears as though he killed Devaki's children, six of them. The seventh was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram. Sri Balaram ki. Yeah. So, although Lord Balaram appeared in Devaki's womb, Krishna made the arrangement with Yogamaya, who is Durga, Vaishnavi, so many names she has, Ambika. She's worshipped in many places as the energy, the Shakti of the Lord, the potency of the Lord. So she was instructed by Krishna, you transfer Balaram from the womb of Devaki to Rohini, who's also the wife of Vasudev. In this way, make this arrangement. So Yogamaya transferred Lord Balaram, known as Sankarshan, Baladev, Balabhadra, Rama. He has many names because he gave pleasure to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Balabhadra, very, very powerful. It said one gets spiritual strength by serving and worshipping Lord Balaram. Balaram with his plow and club, very fierce for the demons, but glorious for the devotees. So all the inhabitants or the palace, they were all, oh, Devaki had a miscarriage. So there was so much lamentation. Now the time is coming for Lord Krishna's appearance. And it's described that although it wasn't time for a full moon because he was born in the moon dynasty, it became a full moon manifest. And they asked all the stars, and everything became very auspiciously set up. Everything was lined up. Just imagine, Krishna is described, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. Simply by his desire, everything is being manifested. It's not like that for us. We have to put, you know, work very hard, make so many plans and arrangements, and get so many people to take care of so many things. But Krishna just desires and everything becomes arranged. The atmosphere was very, very beautiful. The rivers were very clean. The lakes, they had beautiful flowers, and the bees were humming. The forest was full of green, beautiful flowers, nice breeze, even though there was thundering in the sky, that little light thunder with like the crashing of the waves. Everything was very auspicious, and all the brahmanas felt happy. They felt they did their yajna, their performance of sacrifice. The atmosphere was surcharged that Krishna is coming. And Kamsa saw that Vasudeva, because Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudeva, in his mind, transferred to the heart, and then Vasudeva became so effulgent, you couldn't even look at him like more than thousands of suns. He became very brilliant and effulgent. So everyone started getting worried, uh-oh, Krishna's coming. And Devaki, extraordinarily beautiful, she's already very beautiful, Mother Devaki, but she became extraordinarily beautiful from the heart of Vasudeva to the heart of Devaki. Krishna transferred himself. It's described that it's not that Krishna had to go to the womb of Devaki. He's already there. It's amazing how when the Lord, at that auspicious time, appeared in front of Vasudeva and Devaki in his forearm form with conch, club, padma, conch shell. So with four weapons in hand, the Supreme Lord, fully garlanded with Kastuba jewel, and the necklace, and all the markings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vasudeva was astonished. He opened his eyes wide that this is amazing. Krishna appeared in his four-handed Vishnu form to convince or to show that Vasudeva and Devaki, he actually explains later to Devaki that Prishni, Garbha, and Supasutapa, in three previous births, I appeared, you were my mother and father. First as Prishni Garbha, next birth as Vamanadev, and now as Krishna. And he wanted them to understand that I fulfilled your wishes, and after this life, you're going back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. Although they were already transcendental spiritual personalities, we should not think Devaki and Vasudeva were ordinary conditioned souls. They're eternal associates of the Lord, and they come for the pastime of the Lord's activities in this world. So Vasudeva offers beautiful prayers, and within those prayers they describe how you are the creator, like Arjuna, Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramambhavam, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Ajam, Vibhum. You're the Supreme Lord, you produce everything. You maintain everything. You annihilate everything. You appear as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and within each universe, you create Brahma and all the planets and the demigods, and then you enter into each and every heart of every living being. Not only that, within every atom, nothing exists without your presence. So here is Vasudeva in the jail of Kamsa, imprisoned, but the Supreme Lord is there, so he became fearless. You can imagine the anxiety of Kamsa coming each time to kill each and every baby that they had. That you know, we hear about that. You even one person losing one child, but not only losing the child, but Kamsa would take them and just smash them on the rock right in front of them. So you could see how cruel, heartless Kamsa was, but the fear factor was growing. He knew by seeing Devaki's beauty and brilliance and seeing Vasudeva, he knew, oh, Krishna's coming, but I can't kill him now, because how would it look? Although she's in prison, under my custody, my reputation, many, many reasons are explained while it was not the right time for Kamsa to kill Devaki, even though he understood that Krishna was coming. So Devaki, out of love for Krishna, pleaded, okay, you know, you appear as the Supreme Lord, but people may not understand this properly, so please, you again conceal your Vishnu form. And so Krishna became like an ordinary child, but that was his original form, his baby form, two-arm Krishna. He appeared under the protection of Devaki and Vasudeva. And so at this time, under the influence of Yoga Maya, the goddess, the Shakti of the Lord, he told you take me to Gokul, transfer me to Mother Yashoda in Nanda Maharaj's care, and Mother Yashoda is at the same time giving birth to a baby girl, the Shakti of Yoga Maya. So in this way, miraculously, by the Shakti potency, all the guards fell asleep. Although we've heard the pastimes of Krishna over and over again, when Srila Prabhupada on Janmasthami Day, he would sit with all the devotees and hear the pastimes of Krishna killing the demons and just the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord, and it gave great pleasure, great happiness. It's not that, oh, we've already heard the story of Ramachandra and Krishna and Balaram, something new. No, it's new and fresh for devotees. They relish to hear about Krishna's birth and activities on a daily basis. It becomes fresher and newer. So he instructed Vasudev. Actually, it said that Devaki and Vasudev mentally gave 10,000 cows in charity to brahmanas. They're confined in a prison with chains. So the glorious appearance of the Supreme Lord, naturally out of love, they wanted to show their gratitude and appreciation. So they were mentally making offerings of gifts to the brahmanas on such an auspicious occasion. So Vasudev, after all the chains were released from Vasudev, he took baby Krishna. At that time, the weather was such that there was a light rain, light thunder, and the river Jamuna was overflowing. Heavy, and even there was waves in the river flowing. So just like the Indian Ocean parted for Ramachandra, when Vasudev was taking baby Krishna, you've seen that on a basket, he had Krishna, and Shesha, Lord Balaram, in the form of Shesha Naga, was covering, giving protection. They get to the Jamuna. The Jamuna gave way for Krishna and Vasudev to cross to Gokul. And then, miraculously, everyone there at Mother Yashoda's and Nanda's house, they were all sleeping as well because of the influence of Yoga Maya. So in the delivery room, Vasudev put Krishna on the bed of Yashoda and took Yoga Maya, went back to Kamsa's prison house, everything locked up again so no one understand all the activities that took place with Krishna's mystic potency. And due to the labor, the childbirth, and all the excitement, even though Vasudev and Devaki knew the Supreme Lord took birth, it appeared that gave birth to a baby girl. And the story will be carry on how Kamsa tried to kill Yoga Maya, who jumped from his hands and told him what a fool he was, that the person who's going to kill you already has appeared. So Krishna appears for the pleasure of his devotees. Actually, it's for his pastimes. He's person, he enjoys, like all of us, we enjoy playing, sporting. So Krishna's childhood pastimes, we'll see how with all his friends, he's playing and sporting and having loving relationship with Mother Yashoda. We're in that Leela, Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda trying to bind Krishna, and Krishna freeing the Ajamil, Arjun trees, Nalakuvira, Manigriva. So many pastimes are available. But we should understand that Krishna, he appears as Vyasadeva, Veda Vyas, because he always gives guidance and always gives knowledge of the purpose of the creation and how to get out of this entanglement. So Vyasadeva empowered Narada Muni, Madhavacharya, Ishwarapuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa, Sanatan, Jiva, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to reestablish the holy city of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had burning desire to come to relish Vrindavan because he came, Radha Krishna, combination of Krishna and Radharani, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Krishna wanted to understand, what is this love? Even though Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in a Kshatriya family to reestablish religious principles, evang parampara praptam imang rajar shayo vidhu sa kalaneha mahata yoganashta parantapa, that the real perfection of life can only come if you're plugged into the powerhouse, the source. We cannot take information from conditioned souls who have imperfect senses. We make mistakes, we have a cheating propensity, we're illusioned. These are the frailties or the disqualifying characteristics of anyone who thinks they can give knowledge of the absolute truth without sadhu, shastra, guru. This is the brilliance of this Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. We are Rupa Nugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. We're Prabhupada Nugas. We're followers of Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada, tomorrow is his glorious 125th anniversary. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. So without the blessings and mercy, this is just in the turning of from 69 to 70. The ISKCON Society is only a few years, only a few devotees. And because Srila Prabhupada's humility thinking, this, I want to translate the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. What an endeavor. 70 years old. And just seeing the condition of the material world, people are suffering. And so he wanted to very much taking up the mood of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Nrisinga Guru, who were very eager and enthusiastic to present the teachings of Krishna, Vyasadeva, Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna spoke it, not as people want to interpret it to satisfy their nefarious, ulterior, corrupt motives. People want to say, they say, a doctor says, Bhagavad Gita is between a patient and a doctor. Or, you know, someone may have another idea. So Prabhupada commented when a lady asked him which Gita I should read, he said, I find that there's no authorized literature. People in Kali Yuga are living in total darkness. They've given up all religiosity, sacrifices, truthfulness is gone, mercy is gone, cleanliness is gone. All the attributes which are essential for advancing and developing our spiritual life are totally polluted in Kali Yuga. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna 5,000 years ago, and he said, many millions of years ago I spoke the same science to the sun god. So it's not that one time the teacher Krishna gives us this knowledge and then leaves us. Krishna comes again and again, just like a parent is always checking on the child. Is he safe? Is he okay? Where is he now? What is he doing? So all of us are lost children in this material world. And after many, many lives of going up to the higher planetary systems, enjoying heavenly, godly delights, in the human society, misusing our human form of life by performing vicious activities and or wanting to become happy through material sense gratification or philosophical analysis or speculation of what is the absolute truth. But nothing, karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda, all these different approaches will not work without devotional service. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada is teaching us that only by surrendering to Krishna, Anyabilasata shunyam jnana karma janavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutamam. That this love for Krishna will be awakened by unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. Brahmabhuta prasanatma na shochati na kankshati. All lamentation, all hankering will disappear by surrendering to Krishna. And the surrender means performing devotional service, yajna, sacrifice. So who is performing? There's some religious activities going on, some prayer for health and monetary development might be going on certain places. But who is discussing the absolute truth as given by the great acharyas, the depth of Srimad Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada coined Back to Godhead magazine, showing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in a very sober, instructive way, and all the conditioned souls in darkness looking at the light of the Bhagavad. Wherever there's light, there's no darkness. So that light, to awaken that effulgence, the brilliance, our eternality from within the heart, yajna is necessary. Performance of sacrifice is necessary. So, unfortunately, misguided people are performing sacrifices only for self, family, nationality, community, not understanding that when this life is finished, one will be forced, according to our karma, into the next life. Karmena daivana trena. So we become very fortunate to take birth as a human being. Even more fortunate to utilize whatever God-gifted intelligence we have to recognize that there is something beyond this temporary world where all we see is death and suffering. But Maya is so strong, no matter how much suffering one is in, you think, I'm okay. Prabhupada gives the example of a person who's in the hospital bed, his legs are wrapped in, his arms are wrapped in full of tubes, and how are you today? I'm okay. You're not okay. You're dying, we're all dying. So we should utilize our time and energy to hear about Krishna and Krishna's activity. And Krishna came to protect the devotees. He doesn't interfere with our independence, but if you want to set a good example, Krishna, he did that. He came and he created a whole dynasty and reestablished Yudhishthir Maharaj and the royalty, Rajarshis, saintly kings. They're called Rajarshis because they're actually representatives of God. So it said one should not be a father, one should not be a king or a leader or even a mother unless you can free your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. That our duty is to get free from samsara. Every morning, if you're fortunate, they have a Mangalartik, samsara dava nalalita loka, that we're all burning in the forest fire of material existence. But the spiritual master, he is relieving that burning by the grace of God, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So, again, today's a day to read Krishna book, read Srimad Bhagavatam, read with others, and hear of the Lord. Although we may think that I'm too busy, I have too many other things to do. If we analyze our time and look at our schedule, we should utilize every moment for Krishna consciousness. In this past year, we've lost so many brothers and sisters just recently. You know, this Prabhu and that Prabhu, and yesterday we lost another Prabhu. Lost mean they came to Vrindavan, they performed their service in Vrindavan, and they left Vrindavan in a very glorious way, because anyone who leaves this physical body in Vrindavan, especially engaged in the service of the Lord, he's guaranteed to go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom, where there's no more coming back to the material world. There's no more birth and death and material existence. Mamupecha punarjanma dukkaliyam asasvat. One who goes to the spiritual kingdom lives eternally with Krishna, seeing Krishna, serving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would often have memories that I again want to run the fields and play with all the cowherd boys. So this is the nature of the pure devotees. They're very kind, they're very merciful, very tolerant. Titikshava karunika suhrida sarvadehanam. Prabhupada, very tolerant of the ignorance of people who could not see the absolute truth. Prabhupada is very merciful, very kind to the suffering of the living entities. He would see Kali Yuga and the Kali Yuga persons, and tears would come to his eyes. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevam Kalua, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. In every age, the holy name is the magic formula. But in different ages, time, place, and circumstance, different scriptural rules and regulations may be applicable for one's austerities and performance of yajna and sacrifice. But because we're not qualified, we have a short duration of life, we're easily disturbed, mental disturbances are there, physical disturbances, disturbances from other living entities, maybe the president's bugging you too much, or maybe the demigods are pouring too much rain, or there's pestilence, or there's a pandemic of some sort. Everyone is suffering from body, mind, other living entities, and natural disasters. So we don't want to sound like pessimistic, doomsday philosophy people. We're very optimistic because we're giving everyone the magic formula, the holy name, that simply by chanting and glorifying Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whenever you hear the holy name, whenever you chant the holy name, you can also think that, my dear Lord, somehow or other I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death, embodied, covered in bone, blood, stool, urine. Basically, what is the body made of? All these material elements. I've fallen into this ocean of repeated suffering. Please engage me as one of your servants. It's not we're asking for liberation or give me a bunch of money, I'll be really happy. Brand new Mercedes Benz, a nice house by the ocean. All these things will make me very happy. The temporal happiness of the material world is very flickering and illusory. Like in the desert, you see the water, you feel some satisfaction. Ah, there's water. And you go enthusiastically chasing that illusion. So the idea of becoming happy in the material world is expressed by Krishna. There's no happiness here, from the highest planet down to the lowest. What is it? Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartano Arjuna. From the highest planet down to the lowest, all are places of repeated suffering and misery. But one who takes shelter of me, you know, Krishna's quoting Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vratan Devan Putri Nyati, that if you want to go to the planets of the demigods, to the forefathers, but one who comes to my planet lives with me eternally, forever. So the secret of success, people ask, Prabhupada, what will make you happy? That you become Krishna conscious. That'll make your guru happy. And how to become Krishna conscious? By chanting the Lord's name, even though we may not have a taste for it, by sitting together and hearing the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna Leela, by hearing these pastimes, it awakens our natural love for Krishna. Because we have some people have so many things to talk about and so many things to discuss, so many faults to find in others, so many faults to find in this world. The leadership, you know, every government's not happy with their government leaders, isn't it? It's just natural. There's suffering and there's great anxiety. That's because there's a lack of God consciousness. There's no lack of anything in this world, but there's a lack of Krishna consciousness. So that burning desire, that intense enthusiasm that Srila Prabhupada had, has, and has given the response, like in a relay, you've seen those relays, Olympics, one person's running as fast as he can, he gives it to somebody else who runs as fast as he can. So Prabhupada was whipping the devotees in a loving way. You go and preach, do as I am doing. So this is a preaching mission. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission, meanings that we're going to give this message of Godhead to others who are suffering. It says, there's no one more dear to me. Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita. There's no one more dear to me than that person who gives this message of Godhead to others. So if that means that you're cooking beautifully for the deities, for their pleasure, and the prasad is given to so many devotees to enliven them, you spent the morning meditating on and dressing Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Sama Sundalita Vishaka Devi, Srila Prabhupada, and all of us are totally amazed at the brilliance and beauty and the flowers and the dedication and devotion of the devotees. So devotees appreciate other devotees and are always meek and humble, respectful. Sometimes we have to look at our own characters that we don't become Kamsa character, because Kamsa, when he was eating, he was thinking of Krishna. When he was moving about, he was thinking of Krishna. When he was lying on his bed, he was thinking of Krishna, but in a very demonic way, that I want to kill Krishna, but he couldn't get Krishna out of his mind. So we should have Krishna totally saturated in our mind, in our heart, and that will come about the more Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Everything is available to us. Prabhupada is giving it to us on a golden, silver, Chintamani platter. He formed, get up at this time, bathe, chant, remember the Lord, dance with the devotees, worship Tulsi Devi, listen to Bhagavatam class, follow the rules and regulations. I know it says in the scripture that as one advances to the high level of raga, nuga, bhakti, spontaneous love, sometimes they're not expected to follow rules and regulations. Don't artificially classify yourself in such a high category that this doesn't apply to me. I've been going to Mangalartik for 50 years. What do I need that for? No. Devotees are always thinking themselves, Gopi, Bharatu, Padakamariya, Das, 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 Anudas. We're servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So we want to become servants of Srila Prabhupada and assist Srila Prabhupada in carrying out his mission of this propagating the Sankirtan Yajna. And it's not, we're talking all these things just to get devotees rallied to go out and sell books and make money. People on a material, and interviewers, reporters, and different envious people come and say, oh, you know, how do you make your money? I see that none of your people work. You have so many cars and so many buildings. How was all this? Krishna arranges for everything and everyone. We're utilizing everything in Krishna's service, but we should be careful that we don't utilize Krishna and Prabhupada's energy for our own purposes. And we should try to remember Krishna on this wonderful day of Janmashtami. So I give a little bit of a summary, according to my capacity, that Krishna appeared, the demigods' wishes were fulfilled, he satisfied Vasudeva and Devaki, also Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and all the childhood pastimes. So read Krishna book again, the whole thing, 90 chapters, why not? And now we're hearing 10th canto Bhagavatam. We're the luckiest people in the universe. Because to be in Vrindavan and to hear from the pure devotee the words of Krishna, it can liberate us from our hard struggle of material existence. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrī Krishna Janmāstami ki.
It's a very nice class. I have to say one thing. Even though today's Janmāstami and it was the passing of Śivananda Sen Prabhu, I hardly knew him, but every day after Mangal Arti, we would have Tulsi Puja. He was always bringing the table in during the announcements, putting it there, pushing everyone away. And always in the background there, the Sankirtan, 24-hour Kirtan party. And of course, us Prabhupada disciples, we would get the order Tulsi Devi first, so then I would go around three times and exit that door. But he was always in the way. Because every day he would come up to me and he would reach down at my feet and then grab me around the waist and give me a hug. I didn't even know his name until after he passed away yesterday, Śivananda Sen. But such a sweet devotee, such a humble devotee. And I was thinking how he left yesterday. And I thought that's just what he would do. He wouldn't want to leave today, Janmāstami. That would take away from Janmāstami. So in his own humble way, consciously or unconsciously, he left very quietly. He had breakfast yesterday, got my hug yesterday. And although I didn't know him at all, I knew him more than so many devotees here just by his qualities of devotion and humility. So I just wanted to say that. So, as we said, Janmāstami, Krishna's appearance. For us, Krishna's appearance was all about Srila Prabhupada bringing Krishna all around the world. I joined in April 1971. First volume of Krishna book had just come out. And moving to New Vrindavan, where deities were, I became the Krishna book reader. I wanted to know all about Krishna. That's why I came. I wanted to find God. And Prabhupada delivered to so many, millions of people around the world. He's given Krishna. He's given Janmāstami, the birth of Krishna, to all of us, especially in the West. So in New Vrindavan, my service was read Krishna book while the devotees ate lunch, because we weren't allowed to read. We were working on a farm. But during lunch, I would read Krishna book to them. And then my service at nighttime in the Brahmachari ashram, while everyone else would lie down, was to tell them that same story that I read. I didn't read it again. Kirtanananda Maharaj made me, whatever I could remember, I would tell the Krishna book story. So that went on for some time. And then a year later, finally I was getting my second initiation. So we went to New Dwarka, Los Angeles, from New Vrindavan by car, by van. And there, by some miracle, I became Prabhupada's Krishna book reader in the garden every afternoon. There were only four or five devotees in the garden. And I guess the previous reader had just left, because Prabhupada was having Krishna book read to him every day. He's given us Krishna book. And that was my first glimpse and trying to understand, who is this person? He's written this book and he's having it read to him as if he never heard it before. And he was sitting on asana, so I was right there, just big Krishna book on my lap, and Prabhupada, when he would sit and listen, he was more attentive than everyone. I said the first time I was reading was about a demon, and Prabhupada laughed and laughed when Krishna got killed this demon. And Prabhupada was slapping his leg and his whole body shaking in tears. All the ecstatic symptoms we read, he was exhibiting. He was right there enjoying it so much. And that was a year after my coming to the temple and doing services and getting up early in the morning, trying to chant 16 rounds. But then I saw what Krishna consciousness was. I saw Prabhupada's. He was so much more than everything we speak about. We speak about all his services, his duty to his spiritual master, his translating so many books, initiating 5,000 devotees, opening up 100 temples. But above all those things, he was a devotee of Krishna. He was pure devotee of Krishna. And he was seeing Krishna at every moment. That I got to understand more and more as the years went by. So I read Krishna book every day for a week. As I said, I've told the story. The next day I deliberately picked a story about a demon because it seemed he really liked those stories. And he did, again, he laughed and laughed and laughed when he heard about that funny gorilla, Dravida. Dravida is more powerful than 10,000 elephants, huh? He was taking revenge on his good friend getting killed. So he was there and playing in the ocean, disrupting the whole valleys. And then finally he went and searched out Balaram. So he harassed him, picking up entire trees, swinging at him. Balaram would just deflect them. Anyway, Prabhupada was most attentive audience when we would read from his books. So that was May 1972. Then the next time I saw Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, where I was pujari, cook for the deities. And that was one of the second big Janmashtami festival in New Vrindavan. So more than a few hundred devotees were there. I didn't get to see Prabhupada. There were Bhagavad Dharma discourses were going on up on our own New Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill. We had Govardhan Hill, we had Radhakund, Shyamakund. In New Vrindavan, everything was named. And Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam discourses every day at Govardhan Hill. But I was in the kitchen every day. I wasn't getting to... I wasn't getting to see him. And devotees would say, "Oh, did you hear class today?" I'd say, "No. No, I'm cooking for all of you." But then Janmashtami came, so then Prabhupada was down at the main temple. And in the evening, like we do here in the evening, everyone was assembled. And Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan and he had the devotees read Krishna book. And again, he was the most attentive person sitting there listening to every word. And he's looking at his disciples. And he's just shaking his head. He was so excited for Janmashtami. Huh? Read, he'd say, "Read, read." We read and we read and we read. We had an Ekadasi feast back then too as well. And when he left, I became his servant. Now I was traveling with this person as he was giving Krishna, giving Krishna's birth. He literally, it was like Krishna's birth to us. We knew nothing. And he was traveling around the world giving Krishna to everyone. But he was always the most eager to hear as well, not just speak. He was the most eager one to hear. He was a lover of Krishna. So we came here to Vrindavan for Kartik. It was It's my very first month. Then he went to Hyderabad, did a pandal. He went to Ahmedabad, another pandal. Then he did one in Delhi, New Delhi. And they had on the altar, on the stage, at the back of the stage was a little altar. And Radha Krishna, marble Radha Krishna deities just appeared there on the altar. They weren't installed, but they were there, of course, for the benefit of everyone that attended, tens of thousands of people attending. And Prabhupada spoke every day in Hindi. And all his disciples, 30 or more disciples, we were all on the stage with Srila Prabhupada as he would speak each day. So then the last day came, and Achyutananda Swami was banging on the mridanga, chanting. So everyone was always, Prabhupada was there. So the devotees were all ecstatic. And of course, Prabhupada liked all the people to see his Western disciples, right? His dancing white elephants, the miracle that he had performed. So the last day, the kirtan was going on, and then Prabhupada got up from the Vyasasan during the kirtan, at the beginning of the kirtan, which he always just sat on the Vyasasan, but now he stood up and he started to walk towards the center of the stage by the audience. And he just stood there. And then he turned and he looked at Radha Krishna deities on the altar. And he bowed. And then he started walking around the deities. He started circumambulating the deities. And of course, we all followed him. Because Prabhupada would raise his hands. He wanted to see us dancing before Krishna. He wanted that everyone see his disciples. Krishna conscious disciples, how happy they were. So Prabhupada went around. He went around once, and then he stopped before Radha Krishna. And he bowed his head, turned around, and he went around. So he did that three times. He circumambulated the deities three times. And we're all following him like the little children dancing. He would raise his arms. He's just walking. But just his walking was enough to make everyone ecstatic. So then he got there the third time, and he stood before the deities, and he bowed his head, and he did a 360. He went around, and again, and he looked at the deities, and then he had this gigantic smile on his face, and he raised his hands up in the air, and he started jumping up and down. So that was it. Everyone on the platform, all the devotees are jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and laughing. Everyone in the audience, thousands of people, everyone just got up with Srila Prabhupada and started dancing. This is what Prabhupada could do. Could deliver everyone in a moment. Everyone was jumping up and down and dancing. And Jamuna was there. And I was there, and we were by the deities, and Prabhupada's dancing on the stage. This is a rented Indian stage, 1972. So then the stage starts wobbling, and then the deities are standing there, and Radha Krishna, they're dancing back and forth. They're wobbling on the stage, like full-size marble deities, and they're going back and forth. So then Jamuna and I, we grabbed the deities so they wouldn't fall over. And then finally Prabhupada put his hands down. So we were all so excited. Kirtan was over. We got in the car. Prabhupada was in the back seat. I was next to him. And I said, Prabhupada, that was so exciting. I said, with you dancing. I said, everyone was in ecstasy. He said, yes. He said, I would have kept on dancing except He said, I saw that the deities were moving back and forth. He said, so I thought I should stop. He said, otherwise I would have kept on dancing. So that was the end of 1972. So I joined him, Janmashtami, 1972. So that was a birth for me as well, another birth to be Prabhupada's servant. So then I'm traveling. Everywhere Prabhupada goes, he goes around the world, and he ends up at Bhaktivedanta Manor, the place George Harrison bought for the devotees. Beautiful property, big manor house. So Prabhupada told them there were deities, Radha Krishna deities, in the closet. It's Soho Temple, the London Temple. And they were keeping these deities for a temple that was going to get opened in Scotland. That was the plan. But when Prabhupada came to the manor, he said, we'll install the deities here. So very quickly they had to make arrangements. This installation was going to be Janmashtami. This was 1973. You see all the pictures. You can see videos of that as well, of the installation. Prabhupada was involved every step of the way, going inside. They had 7 outfits that came when the deities were sent for the deities. Omalati was dressing, another devotee dressing. Prabhupada said, hurry up. Prabhupada, he would always say, hurry up, in the pujari room with the deities. Hurry up, he would say. Do. So, and then Prabhupada did the first artik. That altar was a checkered, very small black and white tile, checkered floor all around. That was the deities' room. It was glass. It was like a greenhouse attached part of the manor building. So they had to put curtains everywhere. They had an altar, made nice altar. So Prabhupada did Aratik, Janmashtami day, the first Aratik. And then after he finished the Aratik, he came and he was right in front and he stood before the deities and he bowed and he turned. And then he started walking around. It's just the altar room. It's just a small space. But he starts walking around and circumambulated the deities. So the room's packed with all the devotees. All over Europe had come. England, Europe, France, Germany, Sweden, Switzerland. All these devotees are there. So Prabhupada walks around and again he stops before the deities. Radha Gokulananda. Name and he bows and then he tells the devotees to follow him. So he called everyone in the temple room onto the altar to dance around the deities with him. So he's going around 3 times circumambulating, and each time, and he's in there and he's dancing, and we're all in the altar. We're in the deity room with him and we're all running around the deities and everyone's dancing in ecstasy. It was the same deities that were in Delhi. Radha Gokulananda were the deities that Prabhupada danced in front of at the festival. Yeah, the Pando program. They were the same deities. He brought them to England. He installed them in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And for some reason, I never saw him dance in front of any other deities. And he did the exact same thing in each place. This is Prabhupada's relationship with Krishna. This was Prabhupada's devotion. And he's transferring all of that to us. You just have to take it. We just need that same determination. As I traveled with Prabhupada, I saw over and over again, open door. No secrets, Prabhupada would say. Sometimes people would come in to speak to him. And he'd say, that's okay. He said, we have no secrets. That was a scary thing to say to us sometimes, because they wanted to speak to Prabhupada. But who knows? So that was 1973. So at the end of 1973, I left Prabhupada's personal service. So I was gone for 8 months, and in June of 1974, I went back to New Vrindavan. So a month later, Prabhupada comes back to New Vrindavan, 1974, and there's another festival, Janmashtami, Bhagavad Dharma Festival. And there's even more people attending. This is 1974. So Prabhupada stayed in New Vrindavan every day speaking Srimad Bhagavatam class, hundreds of his disciples. They asked Kirtananda Swami, they used to give, you know, at night Prabhupada always had a cup of hot milk. In New Vrindavan, of course they had the cows there, they would milk the cows. So this milk was 50% cream. Kirtananda would have all the cream from the milk, so they put some milk in and they fill it with cream. So it was very creamy milk. And Prabhupada would drink it, never said this tastes a little strong. No, he accepted it. It was very wonderful, sweet. And while there, Kirtananda asked Prabhupada, can you teach us how to make rasgullas? Any of you were in the kitchen, rasgullas require special touch. You can know everything, you can read the recipe, doesn't matter. They'll give you a hard time. They're also people, rasgullas. So Prabhupada agreed. He told them to prepare the paneer, told them how to prepare it, get the paneer ready. They got the sugar water in the wok. Got that boiling, and Prabhupada came in, so they rolled the balls, and Prabhupada had his spatula. And there's like, we're all standing around watching Prabhupada in the kitchen. That was another level, different kinds of ecstasies we would have with Srila Prabhupada. There was dancing and kirtan ecstasy, him playing the mridanga ecstasy, him in the kitchen ecstasy. And so many kinds of ecstasies, but to see him in the kitchen, I know I always see the one picture of Prabhupada. There's a thing, a Haynes salt, that was like the good salt back in the day, right? Natural sea salt. And he's got a handful of salt, and you can see all the salt he's putting into this preparation, and I'm thinking, that looks like a lot of salt. So much salt. He was so expert. Never, he would tell me, cook this, cook that. There were never recipes. It was just do this, do a little of this, throw in a little of that. Everything was just knew what to do. So Prabhupada was watching these rasgullas. You know, you make sure they turn over, keep them moving, and they expand. Cheese, after you press it all out, and they expand. Nothing else in there, just the curd. I mean, in the sugar water, sweet, sweet sugar water. And Prabhupada's bobbing them, and we're looking. Brahmananda Maharaj, he's next to me, and Prabhupada's, and he looks. He said, you've already half eaten them. And Brahmananda's turned red, because we're all looking. We were always waiting for the end result when we were with Prabhupada, the Maha Maha Prasadam. So then Prabhupada said, like this, he said, do this, you know, another 5 minutes. He said, then it'll be finished. So he handed the spatula to Kirtananda. So Kirtananda grabs the spatula, Prabhupada walks away, and they all collapsed. As soon as he turned his back on these rasgullas, they all shrunk back down to their original size, and nothing could bring them back to life. They had just, like, they gave up their life when Prabhupada left. They were disappointed, or they just shrunk. We tried everything. We ate them anyway, even though it was like eating sweet cardboard. You know, they were so hard, because they were hard. Instead of being squeaky and fluffy and everything Prabhupada put into them. So that was Prabhupada's magic. So that was Janmashtami 74. And then the day before Prabhupada left, Brahmananda asked me. 72, Kirtanananda asked me. And 74, Prabhupada said, Brahmananda Swami, do you want to be Prabhupada's servant? So I was very fortunate, and I agreed, and then we came here. We came here to Vrindavan. It was supposed to be for the opening of the opening of the temple for Kartik. And of course, as soon as Prabhupada came, he could understand Krishna Balaram Mandir. No way it's going to open. Even disciples had flown in from America. It was a scheduled activity. But right away, he could see it wasn't going to happen. But then, that was September, Prabhupada got very ill. It's like we see in rainy season here. Everybody gets this. Not everyone, many of us have gotten this, whatever it is, flu, virus, knocks you out. But somehow, Prabhupada got very, very ill. Where you see his bed now was just like that. We moved the bed into the sitting room, and he was just lying day after day, not eating, just drinking a little water. Sometimes we'd give him a little orange juice. But he had one thought, to get this temple finished. He wanted to see that everything was finished here. Prabhupada always wanted to see everybody got to see Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Sundar. Take darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he said, this I can't even remember all the people that have left us, you know. Bhubaneshwar, Narsingha Chaitanya, now this nice, sweet, humble devotee. He just exited, just like he lived, very quietly. You didn't know unless it appeared somewhere in some text somewhere. Very sweet, very wonderful devotee. 5 years ago, on Janmashtami, I was invited to Ukraine, Eastern Ukraine. I spent some time in the Ukraine over the years, so I knew many devotees. Had been 6-8 different cities in the Ukraine. So many thousands of devotees there. So they invited me for Janmashtami festival, Vyas Puja, stay for a week or so, go to the different temples. So at the time, my 90-year-old mother, she was dying. So I was hesitant to go because I was around her at the time. I thought maybe I should be there. But my sister said, nah, go, she's okay. So I went, and Janmashtami festival was there. So I arrived there 22 hours, 4 different airports. I arrived in the Ukraine at the devotee couple's house where I stayed on Janmashtami day. So the program, of course, was going to start 9 o'clock in the evening, 10 o'clock, right through midnight like that. So I got there around 10 in the morning, they had some prasadam, and then I took a little nap. When I became Prabhupada's servant, 1972, the second day I was with him, we were in Dallas. And Prabhupada had lunch. After lunch, Prabhupada took a nap, which was one of the things that I was told. takes a little nap after lunch, half hour, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, like that. So it was the first day there. It's my second day with him as his servant. So the bell rings, and I run into the room, and the door was beside Prabhupada's asana. So I came in, offered obeisances. I didn't offer in front of him, I offered right next to him. And I sat up and he looked at me. First thing he said was, Shruta Kirti. He said, your name's too long. He said, from now on I'll call you Shruto. I said, yes, Prabhupada. Then he kept looking at me. He said, do you take a nap after lunch? I thought he was questioning my level of Krishna consciousness, which of course didn't exist. But I thought he's asking if I'm sleeping. And we never took naps, say after, you know, got up early in the morning, Mangal Arati, morning programs. We nap during Bhagavatam class, like some of you are doing now. That's when we napped. So right away I said, no, Prabhupada, I don't take a nap. He said, that's nice. He said, I'm an old man. He said, so when you're old, he said, you can't sleep so much at any one time. He said, so I take a nap after lunch. And then he stopped. And I offered obeisances and I left. And I'm thinking, who is this person? He's telling this 21-year-old kid, knows nothing about anything. Just been in the temple for a year. And he's explaining to me, his servant, that he's taking a nap. What do we know about humility? We think we're humble. I have no idea what humility is. Prabhupada's humility, just like his love of Krishna, is unfathomable. So I walked away. But everything he did those first days, I could see he was just grabbing me more and more. He was taking away my anxieties and doing my service, being with pure devotee from Vaikuntha. And he was making me comfortable. But the things that he would say were just... Sometimes he would ring that bell. And I'd come in, I offer obeisances, and he'd say, can you give me massage now? Once I said, Prabhupada, I'm sitting in my room just waiting to do something. But he's asking me. He didn't say, okay, let's go massage time. No, that's not how he thought. It's not how he spoke. He was the best gentleman, Vaishnava, in every way, everything he did. In this way, he just endeared you to him more and more. It was very tricky like that. He made you love him. And he loves Krishna. That's what he said. I love Krishna, you love me, so you love Krishna. Such an easy process Prabhupada gave. And he made himself so lovable. Just like Krishna. We hear these pastimes. I could see Prabhupada's love there when I read Krishna book. I would have to look at him while I was reading just to see how he sat, every word, like he said to us, Krishna, like he said to me in his room about that very same book, the same book I read in New Vrindavan, the same book I read to him in New Dwarka. He's reading it on his own in his room. And he called me in and he said, this is all. You just read this book and you can be Krishna conscious. You don't have to read hundreds of books. It was the third time he said it to me over a year, calling me into his room. Every book he said the same thing. You don't have to read hundreds of books, just this book. But that day he was reading Krishna book. That same Krishna book, volume 1, he said, it's so nice. And he said, you don't even have to read the whole book. Just one chapter, he said, if you read one chapter of this Krishna book, you can be Krishna conscious. And looking. He said, you don't even have to read the whole chapter, or just one page. He went down his Krishna book. He said, just one page, if you read it, you can become Krishna conscious. You don't even have to read the whole page, he said, just one line in this book. If you read it, he said, you can become Krishna conscious. But he kept looking at me. He didn't put his head back down. So he's still looking at me. You don't even have to read the whole line. Just one word. He pointed at one word. I don't know what word it was. It doesn't matter. He said, just one word in this book. If you read it, you can become Krishna conscious. Because Krishna's in every word. We talk about Janmashtami. Prabhupada's given us Janmashtami every moment, Krishna's appearance. Everywhere we look, you have to see Krishna. He said the sky's blue because it's reflecting Krishna's bodily effulgence. So all you have to do is look up in the sky. Some days, here in Vrindavan, there's a blue sky. Other places, always blue sky. So that's Krishna's bodily effulgence. When he smelled the jasmine flower, as I was massaging him at night, this is Krishna. Krishna. You want Krishna? Not just today. Always. We want Krishna eternally. This is what Prabhupada's given us. This is the blessing for all of us. So many people, blessings. And it's the Indian way, asking for blessings. Prabhupada said, you want my blessings? He said, do something for Krishna. He said, take my headache, he said to one person in the audience. You want Krishna? You want my blessings? He said, you take my headache from you. Then you get my blessings. So here in Vrindavan, during Kartik, I got to see Prabhupada living here, Radha Damodar Temple, right in the very heart of Vrindavan, just all in Krishna's pastimes, describing them, speaking nectar, devotion. But then I got involved with Prabhupada, and it was just like reading Krishna book. It was like living Krishna book. I told you that upstairs, Prabhupada was in the room upstairs, Radha Damodar Temple. And after his bath, he dressed. So then I went in the front door to clean up. And I offered obeisances. You'll notice, I say a lot, you offer obeisances. Panchagota Prabhu said, 2.5 years, says 700, about 900 days I was with Prabhupada. Every time I went into his room, I offered obeisances. If you were there for more than 5 seconds, every time you left his room, you offered obeisances. And he would call me maybe 1-2 dozen times a day. So I don't know how many times I offered obeisances. But I'm thinking, if I didn't do anything else, just that act, Prabhupada called that act of humility, to offer obeisances. Just by offering obeisances, you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Just by touching your head there to the ground. So Prabhupada was very kind to me. Lunchtime, I'd go in and out of his room and 15 minutes, 6-7 times with a japati. Every japati got on his plate and then I offered obeisances every time. Not once did he say, you've done it enough today, you hit your limit, now you made your quota. Didn't say it after 1 year, 2 years. You don't ever hit your quota. There is no quota. We just keep doing it. Keep exercising, offering our respects to the spiritual master, offering our respects to the devotees. That's what I saw Shivananda saying. Every time I was leaving, he's offering respects. He gave me a hug. We hardly exchanged. Every now and then I would ask him how he was doing. The day he left, yesterday, I said, "How are you?" Okay. Boom, finished. What a glorious, like we say, glorious birth. So anyway, in the Ukraine, I took a nap. And it's about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, Ukraine time. And while I'm, my eyes closed, all of a sudden I saw my mother. And she had a chaperone on either side of her. And she went zooming past me. Just like, just past with these well-dressed fellows across and her. And as she passed me, she had a big smile on her face. Of course, I woke up. And then I got on the internet. I wrote my sister who lived there in Philadelphia. And of course, as soon as I got on, there was an email saying mom died. She died Janmashtami morning, just after midnight. She passed away. Prabhupada says to us, he said, your parents still appreciate you at the time of death. They may not appreciate you your whole life as a devotee, thinking you should have done something else. My mother was, she accepted later on. Good Catholic lady she was. But she left on Janmashtami. And I literally saw her zipping on to wherever. Prabhupada says, good Christians, they go to Christ Loka. He said, Jesus, Christ, he has a planet. And on that planet, he said, Christians, his followers, good followers, they go there and he teaches them Krishna consciousness. So I saw that was blessing of Srila Prabhupada. She left such an auspicious time. So anyway, there's so much in store for all of us. Our business is carry on Prabhupada's program. As Panchagoda said, we're most fortunate here to be in Vrindavan. That's why some of us, as we reach this age, we come to Vrindavan to stay here. Now you can do your service all over the world. I gave class in Bangladesh yesterday. I gave a class in Kazakhstan yesterday. Just sitting in my room on a computer. So service is always there. The ability to help relieve some of the headache of Srila Prabhupada is always there. By what? Just by giving Krishna to others, everyone you meet. So today we know we get special, special mercy today. In Vrindavan we always get special mercy. Prabhupada said you do 1%, it's 100% in Vrindavan. 100 times your service is magnified. So now in Janmashtami, I think it's another 100 times. So maybe 1,000 times, 10,000 times. Unlimited benefit by serving Srila Prabhupada here. So we're going to continue this tomorrow. We're all very excited. Today, tomorrow, Srila Prabhupada's 125th anniversary of his birth here. And if you go on the main road right there, Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, right now it's actually facing the temple. There's a big billboard with Srila Prabhupada's and picture of the temple celebrating Prabhupada's 125th. So one of our devotees here, he sponsored it. He had it put up there. And I think after today, they put a big temporary gate there. So after today, it'll be turned around the other way. So it's facing everyone coming into Vrindavan. And they can see, you come to Vrindavan, this is how you got here. So, Sri Krishna Janmashtami Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.